So it is time to get out of here, our good buddy Andy, or Boris, depending on how you prefer. It is time to get out of here, and we really are quite serious about needing to raise the full amount for the month, because otherwise bills don't get paid. Bad things happen, including possibly us going away. It's just a fact. So headonradionetwork.com is where the PayPal button is. So is the snail mail address under the tab Contribute. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, Agnes for taking care of show posts along the way too, our blogger Texas Betsy who sent along some great stories this evening. Thanks to John Fox, and thanks to Ben Birch, a hero of progressive media. Thank you, Ben Birch. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AcheAct.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour and a brand new broadcast week begins. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. The Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, available all across the world, all across the interweb tubes. And I hope you will join in and participate as you see fit. The Horn is available at Tuner Internet Radio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Internet Radio, and Marty Reports, We're Still MIA from iTunes Radio, God knows why. Really? Because we don't. And I haven't heard from Patty. Haven't heard that she heard anything back from the Apple folks either. You know, it's Moran Monday, and we'll get to the shtick soon enough. Here, let's get all the details out of the way first. Okay, one. How long has it been since you called your representative to tell them to become a sponsor of the AKE Act? If you never have, you should, and if you have called and they still haven't signed on, call again. Be polite, of course. Be cordial, even. But call and email once a week. It's not like almonds and we're asking you to eat them every damn day. Just make a call a week, okay? Please, go to acheact.org for all the details you could possibly need in becoming an advocate for an end of Appalachia's agony and some small measure of human rights for the tormented people of Appalachia. Pretty please? Yeah, okay. Second, the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, and the snail mail address is 1038 North Eisenhower Drive. I should presage that by saying The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Mary Bravo 318, Beckley, West Virginia 25801. I mention that only because Boss Man Wayne called today to say that he'd been to the mailbox, and pretty much it was a bunch of echoes. And, you know, we can't deposit echoes. So we find ourselves beginning this Moran Monday, the same place that we left off Friday, $515 away from making the nut for the month of August. And it is imperative that we finish out the month of August on or ahead of schedule. $515, and that gets an extra $100 thrown in thanks to the Beat the Swede Challenge, a standing offer from our good buddy Scott in Sweden. And I'm sure that Scott's not the kind of guy who sits around going, gee, I really hope they don't beat the Swede this month. I'd hate to part with that $100. No. No, he's looking forward to the opportunity to be a beaten Swede. So $515, the sooner the better, because I'd like to do four. Okay, we're done. There's no hope of doing five. But I'd love to do 4 days of radio without doing this. And then we'll start it all afresh on, what, September the 3rd? That's Labor Day, I know, but I'll probably wind up working Labor Day. So, you know, please, if you can help. I mean, matters are grave. If I told you exactly how dire they are as far as getting from August to September, you'd probably say, oh, screw it, he won't be here past the 15th. Oh, yeah, we will. We'll be here till the lights go out. But the fact of the matter is, there's a distinct possibility of the lights going out, the interweb tubes turning off, the phones going to, you know, that noise. Okay? So, I have to be square with you. We have got to finish this month in the black, in the good. We've got to do it, because it's only going to get harder. And I'm not sure I did. Please believe me when I tell you it's only going to get harder. It's 5 minutes past the hour, and it is Moran Monday, but I don't want to run the circus music just yet because of the first story for this Moran Monday. I'm a white guy. So there are things in this world that cannot mean to me what they mean in their full horror to persons of color. Because, what I'm about to talk about is horrifying to me as a white person. I can't even begin to speak to what it must mean to be a person of color and see something like this. Our good friend Thomas sent me a note just before showtime. This rocketed to the top of the stack because it's almost like it's a warning. It's a warning is what it is. And it goes hand in hand with another story. Equally disturbing. I mean, I had a cute little song to start the show with and everything. That's out the window. Because it just, this had to go to the front. You know, if there's, I've been having these periodic email exchanges, generally just one line or two, with our buddy Ray, who has been taking one for the team and trying to delve back into the archives to find the conversation with Joe Bajant. Because it's almost to the point that I want to create a Twitter hashtag that says why Joe Bajant is so sorely missed or something like that with all of these stories that I see coming across, because God knows we could use him. But Ray's been looking for the Joe Bajant interview, and he sends me these little notes here and there. Let's see, I got one that said, wow, Jim's been with the Horn family from the very beginning, hasn't he? Yes, he has, Ray. And I got another one saying, well, that was prescient. You were talking about the danger of the Stand Your Ground law in 2005, the Stand Your Ground law in Florida. You were talking about it in 2005. Yes, we were. And so if this little program, this little effort that you all have made happen over the years has any enduring value, and I say this understanding that any sort of predictive activity is wildly subject to error, but my guess is that if we are ever to have a Wikipedia entry, the horn, and we don't, that I know of. We had one once, but they took it down and said, well, this is advertising, you know, while leaving up a bunch of right-wing crap. If the horn is ever to have a Wikipedia entry, it will probably focus on the, you know, this is after I'm off living with the boys under the bridge drinking screw-top wine and all of that stuff. But if there is to be an enduring legacy of the horn, I would hope that it is this. That as this country went bug-eyed crazy, there was somebody out there, you know, us, the Horn family, talking about it, discussing it, and pointing it out to an otherwise disbelieving or otherwise occupied, disaffected, dysfunctional nation. We talk about these things, and we see cumulative effects that perhaps others don't. And I think that's part of, and the familial nature of all of us is what I think makes this special. You see how I'm sort of dancing around getting to this icky, nasty, vile, hateful thing I'm trying to, yeah. You remember the Hope poster? The Shepherd Fairey poster from the 2008 presidential campaign. A portrait of Barack Obama with the word hope under it. Yeah, you do. And this is certainly, if Barack Obama wanted to tune in some progressive radio talk and hear himself constantly uplifted and validated, and he can do no wrong, and he's don't stink, and this ain't the program for that, because we've got more than enough problems with the policies of his administration. You do, I do. I'm voting for the man in November, but I do so not holding my nose, but understanding what it is to run for imperial administrator of a far-flung empire in the 21st century. But you remember the Shepherd Fairey poster. Well, it's had all kinds of things done to it over the course of these last three and two-thirds years. This is as bad as it's gotten. I don't know how it could get any... Well, I do, actually. This could be rendered, and so we're talking about a visual here, so I understand that there are limitations to the medium itself. I can think of a way this could be worse. But there aren't many. Some Neanderthal... No, not a Neanderthal. Call them what they are, Bob. Some member of the American Taliban... Some member of the Tea Party, some right-winger, some thug, some repig-licking, some conservative has manipulated the Shepherd Fairey poster to move Barack Obama's head about 45 degrees off-center to the left as you're looking at it, rendered his eyes closed, and put a noose around his neck. And where once the word hope appeared under the portrait, now the word rope, R-O-P-E, rope, appears. We have here a call from the right wing of this country for the lynching of a sitting president of the United States. A lynching. You know, to be somewhat vacuous, what with college football season approaching. Oh, Bob, no, you're not really going to... Yeah, I am. This is what you call bulletin board material. This should be printed out and posted for every person in America to see. It should be posted in black churches throughout the South, especially the ones that say, well, we're not supporting him anymore because he likes the abortion or the gay marriage. Really? You want to get in bed with the people who do this? This image comes wake, as we discussed last week, of the Virginia Republican Party calling for armed revolution if Romney doesn't win. It comes in the wake of a lunatic judge in Lubbock, Texas, declaring that Barack Obama wants to turn the sovereignty of the American people over to the UN and invade Lubbock. Sure, I do it with a cute accent, but the guy was serious. It comes in the wake of a speaker's agenda at the Republican National Convention in Tampa that reads like a master class in lunatic birtherism, with even the presumptive nominee, Willard Romney, making a birther joke last week. And it comes in conjunction with this. This being the following text. In a disturbing report out of Georgia, prosecutors say four U.S. soldiers plotted to overthrow the government and assassinate President Obama. Details remain slim about the case, but the Associated Press's Russ Bynum says the soldiers allegedly bought $87,000 worth of guns and bomb-making materials and plotted to take over Fort Stewart, Georgia, bomb targets in nearby Savannah and Washington State, as well as assassinate the president. The plot was apparently uncovered in relation to a murder case surrounding the killing of former soldier Michael Rourke and his girlfriend Tiffany York in December. On Monday, PFC Michael Burnett, one of the accused soldiers, pled guilty to manslaughter and gang charges, not murder, manslaughter. In the murder case, Burnett, this is a quote from Russ Bynum's story with the SAP, Burnett told a Long County judge that Rourke, who had just left the Army, knew of the militia group's plans and was killed because he was a loose end. The report continues, as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Jay Bookman notes, sometimes these things get blown out of proportion, but $87,000 in weaponry suggests otherwise. And when you're willing to murder two people to keep the plot secret, you're pretty serious about it. The news follows a controversial report published by Reuters' Daniel Trotta last week that the U.S. Army is battling soldiers within its ranks who enlist in the Army and Marine Corps, quote, to acquire the skills to overthrow what some call the ZOG, the Zionist occupation government. Get in, get trained, and get out to brace for the coming race war. What a lovely little start we have to this Moran Monday. The Zog, the Zionist occupation government, because it's the Jews! Yeah, onward to dystopia, it does. Onward to dystopia, writing in the chat room. Sounds like they've been reading some of that Turner Diaries. Yeah, the author of which proudly lived here in what is probably the most racist state of the Union, West Virginia. Yeah, he probably is, Marty, and he's probably looking forward to making a groundbreaking video for only $29.95. Alex Jones must be smiling, Marty notes. Ray noting, I hate to say it, Bob, but there's a reason they're in Virginia. Well, they're in Virginia, Ray, and they're in West Virginia, and they're in Alabama, and they're in Georgia. I don't know where the author of this poster is. But Lord, if there's ever been a story that needed whispered into the universe's ear, this is it. This needs to go around. The Republican Party needs to wear this. Yeah, by the way, it first appeared, this sick image, this assassinatory image, this vile, this vulgar, this disgusting, this homicidal, did I mention homicidal? Image first appeared on Facebook. Guess what? I checked a couple of minutes before showtime. This post was put up at Daily Kos at 12:37 p.m. PDT, that's 3:37 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and as of just a few minutes before 6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, it is still there. It has been reported to Facebook. Facebook refuses to pull it down. Some background. This coming from our good buddy Brandon in Brooklyn. I'm listening to your show right now. That rope poster you're talking about, it's not new. Well, sadly, Brandon, it was new to me. In fact, some asshole posted that image onto their Facebook page some months ago. What made it especially alarming was that the person was some racist Obama-hating yahoo, and he posted it directly onto the White House Facebook page. The White House Facebook page. Can you say Secret Service? I reported the posting to Facebook. There were many expressions of outrage on the Facebooker's page, and I reported the matter to the White House. I suspect that the person received a visit from the Secret Service. But Sandra is right, says Brandon. The mask has come off on these racists. They're not afraid anymore to show their utter hatred for the black man in their White House. P.S., says Brandon, I saved that image onto my computer just for that very reason you stated, to remind me what we're dealing with in this country. Post-racial America, my ass. So this was months ago then. I apologize for my ignorance. But guess what? It's going around again. It is going around again? That was for Ray, who thought I was imitating Paul Harvey a minute ago. The last there, that was a Paul Harvey impression. Page two? No, there's no page two. This is chilling. There's a change.org petition now calling on Facebook to remove the photo along with other racist photos. You can search it out and find it if you want to. change.org/petitions/facebook-remove-racist-photographs. Like Facebook gives a damn. Ron and Raleigh noting, but Bob, remember, come on, Bob, it's white people that are targets of racism in America today. Yeah, and I'm sure that, well, that was just a harmless little piece of political satire is what that was. We burnt King George in effigy. Yeah, and they bombed the snot out of Boston and New York for it, the British did. I don't know what it's coming to in America where a feller can't advocate free speech no more. Remember, that was the first comment about the goober who was talking to his buddies in Arkansas. You know what I ought to do? I ought to get me a bunch of guns and go shoot up a school. That's what I ought to do. Mountain Home, Arkansas, or something. Fritz sent it along a couple of weeks ago. But that's what the Repiglicans always hide behind, isn't it? Well, he's just funning. Can't a feller make a joke no more? Daggum political correctness gonna be the end of this here country. Sheesh. This is chilling. It's chilling. It just is. Especially in light of 4 soldiers, 2 murders, and one of the killers is getting off with manslaughter. Probably in return for testifying against the 3 others. Where can you see the image, Marty? You can either pop into the chat room, and I'll post the link there. I've already posted it there once. Somebody should be able to copy it to you. Or you can just sign into your Facebook page and, oh, what does it say here? It's under photos/videos of Obama sucks. WEDA people, WEDA space people, PEEPLE, LLC, writes, he, string the bastard up from a tree. Yeah. I would say just look up Obama rope poster. See, the thing is, we've got a lot of people, maybe measured in the millions in this country, who would like to see that image without all the Shepard Fairey graphics around it. They just want to see the real thing. They're sick. They're sick of the American government as the right wing has portrayed it to them of being. They're sick of having the government on their backs, you know, like Ronald Reagan said. They're sick of 2 political parties where there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two, like George Wallace said. By the way, while I'm at it, I am sick to death of this. Presidential elections are a choice between the lesser of 2 evils, and if you choose the lesser of 2 evils, you're still choosing evil. Where do you think that meme came from? Who do you think came up with that? Hint, it wasn't a clever progressive. All of these things that are designed to turn off the American progressive, liberal, decent human being voter and keep them the hell home don't come from progressive camps. They are generated to control your minds, and, well, not yours, but they are generated for the purpose of voter disenchantment. And voter disenchantment is as quick a trip to voter disenfranchisement as any exist. Probably more effective in many ways than repressive voter the voter suppression identification laws like Florida and Pennsylvania and Alabama stand and the rest of them have. No, just get the progressives mumbling amongst themselves in between choruses of Kumbaya. Voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. Get them to do that. Because they don't understand, they don't understand the nature of the system anyway. They don't understand that there's only two parties in this country, that it was not designed as a multi-party parliamentary setup. So, you know, they just get them said a lot, and they'll stay the F, and we'll get Mitt Romney, and then we'll the country good. So, Clayton, yeah, you've got the same sensation I had on seeing it the first time. Clayton writing. Bob, I think I just want to puke. Yeah, it really did. It made my stomach turn when I saw it. It had elements that were reminiscent of seeing it for real. Jim, with a question out of history. What is the difference of this image between, what is the difference between this image and the Nazi rag Der Stürmer printed by Streicher hanged at Nuremberg for horrible anti-Jewish propaganda? Not damn much, Jim, save for the fact that thus far there is no proof that this was done with government sanction, or at least with party sanction. There's no proof. I'm sure if you brought this to the Republican Party's attention, they'd say, "We are shocked. We're shocked, and we're just sickened that any Obama-hating liberal could do such a thing." Because obviously Republicans don't do that. We're above that. We're better than that. That's not Tea Partiers. Tea Partiers love America, even though we make birther jokes all the time and take photographs of guns to rallies when we're not taking our real goddamn guns. Yeah. Well, I kind of hate this. Because it has sure enough taken the starch out of my funnin' and carrying on for Moran Monday. Seems kind of weird and off-putting to start the circus music. So let's don't and say we didn't. By the way, speaking of President Obama, whom the Republican platform does not like to refer to by name, they hate him so much they can't stand to even give his name. Their draft platform, the Republicans, takes a moment to criticize President Obama, whom they will not name. They simply refer to him as the current president. They're disgusted with him. Of course, the whole platform is just oozing with disgust and hatred. But why would we be surprised? It's a Republican platform, right? Well, speaking of the Republicans and their little clavern down in Tampa, Conservacon, we'll be having a very special friend on the show tomorrow evening, right at the beginning of showtime. For Titanic Tuesday. We had so much fun together last time that Guy James is coming back on, and I don't know, I'm going to send him a copy of the draft platform and see if he can find any nuggets in it. But I think Guy will have some special perspectives on what it's like to be not too awfully damn far from Tampa and know that there's a bunch of gun-toting maniacs wandering around. Yeah. No, the Republican Party is really, really mad at the current president, as they describe him, for mentioning climate change as a threat to national security. Here's the complaint from the draft platform. The strategy subordinates our national security interests to environmental, energy, and international health issues, and elevates climate change to the level of a severe threat equivalent to foreign aggression. The word climate, in fact, appears in the current president's strategy more often than Al-Qaeda, nuclear proliferation, radical Islam, or weapons of mass destruction. The phrase global war on terror does not appear at all and has been purposely avoided and changed by his administration to overseas contingency operations. Whatever happened to our global war on terror? That was sexy and exciting and gave the networks a reason to come up with a lot of dum-dummity-dum-dum-dum music and splashy graphics with shit blowing up. I like that better. Yep, no kidding. Climate change gets, the word climate gets more mention than Al-Qaeda, nuclear proliferation, or radical Islam. Really? Radical Islam. Not radical Islam, radical Islam. Because, you know, radical Islam is so much more dangerous than that bias ply Islam. And our global war on terror, our beloved global war on terror that we ran up on the credit card and put America into a financial bind we'll be hell and ever getting out of, it's just disappeared. How are we going to win a war if we won't even mention it? Probably one of them French surrender monkeys, just like Rince Priebus in the Royal Imodium Mounted Dragoons and his trusty possum Splat was talking about to the Chris Matthews. Yes, Marty, as a matter of fact. Didn't the Pentagon opine climate change as a threat to national security during the George W. Bush administration? Yes. Yes. The United States adopted climate change as a threat to national security during the George W. Bush administration, primarily because it is. Say what you will about the military, but they are from time to time, when they're not busy planning to fight the last war, they do tend to actually think some about the future. And I commend them for this. And I'm not one that runs out commending the Pentagon very often. Pentagon commending is one of my weak suits. I mean, I don't think I've got more than two or three cards in my hand. I don't even have enough to, you know, call gin. But they probably do that because there's probably at least two or three people in the Pentagon, all right, maybe one, who've read things like Caesar's Gallic Wars. And I know many of you have also read it. And as a consequence, you understand that Caesar's Gallic Wars begin, and most of Rome's troubles on its frontiers persisted because of constant migratory population pressures. when drought and famine strike a land, the people who don't want to lay there and die get moving. Those are called migratory population pressures. And they tend to try to go where the food is, or the ability to grow food. Now, here's the funny thing. In light of the drought and the fires in the United States, throughout a tremendous degree of Jesus land, among other places, if I was Canada and Mexico, those are the countries I'd be tasking with finding ways to figure out what's going to happen with migratory population pressures. Because where are all these birthers and deathers and baggers and booger eaters and tenthers and fourteenthers, and where are they going to go? Thirteenthers and seventeenthers. Where are they going to go? Or are they just going to stand around on the parched earth of Iowa and Texas and Oklahoma and holler for government aid? You know, from that government they hate. Well, maybe they'll quit hating the government if we'll just get a white person back in there, for heaven's sakes. Get things to take our country back. But wait a minute. Bill Clinton was downright pale, and they hated his guts, too. Adulterer, fornicator, there's a place reserved in hell for them. Right? Yeah, Ray agrees. Too late to do the usual Moran Monday shtick. It would be ostentatious, and I don't even know how to spell that. But you got pretty damn close, Ray. Never give up. Never surrender. It is, sure as God made little green apples, Moran Monday on the horn. And we've got a whole passel of Morans. Radial Islam, honest to Pete. You know, when you rotate your radial Islam, you can't go all the way around your radial Islamic vehicle. You got to go back to front and front to back. You can't go left to right. Now you can do that with your bias ply Islam. All right. Working it too hard, Bob. What else? Oh, lots. And lots. And lots. This here is the story of Maryland Delegate Don H. Dwyer, Jr., who looks, at least from a certain angle, a little bit like Stephen Colbert. Maryland Delegate Don H. Dwyer, Jr. is an upstanding, God-fearing conservative Republican and a darling of the Tea Party. And he wants to preserve the traditional American family, and the traditional family marriage is instituted by Jeebus. Except, Jeebus didn't, but he just said don't get divorced. Representative, or Delegate Don H. Dwyer, Jr., now he's not national, he's relative small fry, but the teabaggers love him. He's relative small fry. He's a member of the Maryland House of Delegates. He went boating. Because he's got him a boat. You know, Maryland's got a good bit of seashore, and a lot of folks have boats in Maryland. I don't know. Maybe he and his buddy were out there out there reenacting scenes from the Tea Party, or I don't know, maybe scenes from Pirates of the Caribbean, and getting all liquored up and yelling, "Yar!" But liquored up they were. Maryland delegate Don H. Dwyer Jr.'s blood alcohol was at 0.20. That's damn near getting close enough to never have to pay income taxes, because it's pretty close to legally dead. I mean, you have to be a pretty much professional drinker to get to 0.20 and still be standing up. I mean, that ain't amateurville. But he went out on the McGaughy River, and he was out there with another man. By the way, did I mention that he has campaigned and opined that homosexuals are a threat to children, and same-sex marriage will lead to homosexuality being taught in schools? Now, children, today is our lesson on homosexuality. Today, we're going to cover draperies and China patterns. And for the girls in the room, power tools. I say that thinking back to our dear friend Kate, who talks about her Smith & Wesson revolver that has a pink pistol grip, and her, I don't know, purple chainsaws, color coordinated. Jesus. Homosexuality will be taught in schools. They're dangerous to our children, these homos.
Hey, Fred. That's me. Don't keep all the tequila for yourself. What do you mean, look out? I'm looking out. I'm looking at you drinking all the tequila. Give me the tequila, mother. Huh? I want the tequila. What are you jumping overboard for? Oops.
Yeah, it was about 7 o'clock on the McGaughy River when dead drunk Don Dwyer, my, aren't we alliterative tonight? When dead drunk Don Dwyer plowed his boat into a boatload of children. 5 children on board the boat. 4 of them were injured. 1 of them, 5 years old, life flighted to Baltimore's Johns Hopkins Children's Center. The crash was so serious that Dwyer's boat sank. So it turns out Don Dwyer, as the article at SDGLN.com, San Diego Gay and Lesbian News, which was reprinted from GayStarNews.com, it turns out that dead drunk Don Dwyer is a greater threat to children than every homosexual individual in this entire country. At the hospital, he offered his mea culpa. It is true that I was drinking while operating my boat. He called a press conference. No one should be drinking and operating a motor vehicle or powerboat. I deeply regret my actions, and I ask for forgiveness from the public. My heart and prayers go out to the family, but not my wallet, that was involved in the accident. And I pray for them to have a speedy recovery. This guy has even tried to have impeached public figures, public officials, who, like judges, who made decisions based upon the law, that supported same-sex couples having the right to marry. He's tried to have them thrown out of government. It's not Wednesday, but I think it's still safe to say God is a God of irony, and she does not like hypocrites. .20. Now, you gotta work at it. Really. You gotta work at it to get to .20. About a 180-pound individual, if I recall my numbers correctly, can get to about .10 with about 8 beers. You gotta work at it to get to .20. Marty, and now the burning question, was he at least arrested? I gotta tell you, there is not a single word in this news story about him being arrested. The only thing that's in there is a reference to his press conference. And I pray for the victims. I am so sick of hearing people talk about who they're praying for, as if that matters. No, but I'm praying for them. Don't pray. Pony up. Open your wallet, you asshole. There are at least 4 children's families that are going to have medical debts that when they left to go boating that morning, they were not planning on having. They have those debts not according to their failings, but according to yours. Well, I'm praying for them. No, dumbass. It's time for some personal responsibility. You remember personal responsibility, don't you, dead drunk Don Dwyer? Personal responsibility, the stuff that you say you want the rest of us to take? That personal responsibility, dead drunk Don? Yeah, and there's a story that kind of goes with dead drunk, tangentially, goes with dead drunk Don Dwyer. And that story has to do with one of our favorite Morian Monday nominees, Steve King. You know, Repiglican. From Iowa. Not Stephen King, the author of, for me, stress-filled fiction. Suspense? Thrillers? Horror? Stress! I mean, he's a great writer, but just stress. 1,000 pages, The Stand, 1,000 pages of freaking stress. But he's a good guy. Steve King of Iowa is not. Steve King has found out that Iowa State University has what are called multicultural groups. You know, like the Asian American Students Association, the African American Students Association, the LGBT support group, that kind of stuff, right? Steve King is not fond of the idea. Not in the least. Come on, Steve. Tell us about it.
I went to give a speech down at Iowa State's campus some years ago, and I thought, well, I should go look and see what's coming on. And so I went to the Iowa State website, and I just, because of the subject matter of the, well, it was a debate, not a speech, because of the subject matter, I typed in multicultural. And it came back to me at the time, 59 different multicultural groups listed to operate on campus at Iowa State, It started with Asians, and it ended with Zeitgeist. And so from A to Z, and most of them were victims groups, victimology, people that feel sorry for themselves, and they're out there recruiting our young people to be part of the group that feels sorry for themselves. And so just imagine this. I mean, it's already started there. That campus is about as good as you're going to get for a Regents institution. And, I mean, it's an engineering and ag school, and that matches me really well. But think of 59 card tables set up across the parking lot on the way to the dorm. And you go off to college, your eyes are wide, you've just been out of high school, you've had your last summer of really no responsibility fun, perhaps, and you pick up your bags and your luggage and you walk across that parking lot, and the first group says, well, you're a victim that fits us. We want to help you. Why don't you join us? And then the next one, the next one, the next one. You're going to probably join one of those groups or more of them before you get to Zeitgeist. And then you're brought into a group of people that have a grievance against society rather than understand there's a tremendous blessing in this society. I sat down and read through, I haven't had the privilege to read all of David Horowitz's book, but I know him, I count him as a friend, and I've read some of them. But I sat down once, and it took me a week to go through it, and I read all of the writings that I could find anyway of Antonio Gramsci. And he was the president of the Communist Party of Italy from 1919 until 1926, famous for writing Prison Notebook, but many others. And I mean, he was really the father of multiculturalism. And so he made the argument that Karl Marx was right in his broader theory, but wrong in the details, that the proletariats would never rise up against the bourgeoisie effectively because they needed the bourgeoisie for their jobs. That being, of course, the working man versus the investment class. And so he said that they needed to find victims groups. And then that way, if they had a common sense of being victimized, they would have a stronger resistance towards the establishment. And then you could bundle up these victims groups, and they together could overthrow the establishment. That was Gramsci's, and he was the original founder of this. And then Alinsky figured out Gramsci. Let's see, Marx wrote the manifesto. Gramsci came with the multiculturalism victimology, and you're reading, he's actually brilliant if you can put yourself in the mindset of the other side. And then Alinsky came along and said, here's the tactics we're going to use. That's the sequence that we're faced with in this country, and that's what I'd like to have every college student know before they arrive. Of course, we've got a ways to go.
Dang. Ain't he just smart? Yeah, not hardly. Saul Alinsky, you ever wonder if these right-wingers call these sex telephone lines? Good evening. Thank you for calling spankme.com. What's your kink? Honey, I got my pants down, and I got it in my hand. I got it in my hand here, and I just want you to say Karl Marx and Saul Alinsky a lot. Well, all right, sugar, you know that'll be $35 for the first 15 minutes. Oh, I don't care. It won't take more than two. Still going to be $35, sugar. That's all right. You just get talking. Karl Marx. Oh! Saul Alinsky. You get the idea. Jesus. But it's all of a piece. It all fits together. Radio Islam! Multiculturalism! I don't know. Do you suppose Iowa State University has an Arab American Students Association? Or maybe in a godly state like Iowa, they don't allow Arab Americans to be going to the college. Yeah, see, Ray went the same place I did. Amen. I bet he spent a lot of time masturbating in the church bathroom. See, when you tap into the universe that way, there may very well be some truth truth involved. we got morons everywhere. And we're not even done. We haven't even gotten started. And there are some fun ones. And there's some that I'm not sure if I should mention tonight or if I should save till Wednesday. But yes, we have morons. We also have to take a break. Jim asking by way of email, oh my God, what did that fool have? We're talking about dead drunk Don Dwyer, Master Boater. Oh my God, what did the fool have? An IV hooked up to a vial of grain alcohol to have said BAC? Yeah, I don't know. Rum, you know, boating, yar, you know, you want your rum and stuff. But, Tim from L.A. sent a DUI chart in. Let's see. A male. Let's figure this asshat for 200 pounds just to be genial. One and a half ounces of 80-proof liquor or 12 ounces of 5% beer or 5 ounces of 12% wine. Fewer than 5 persons out of 100 will exceed these values. On 5 drinks, a 200-pound male will be at 0.15. That's 0.15 on 5 drinks. So you got to figure he was more than a little bit busy. Like I said, you have to be drinking to mean it to get there. So, you know, of course, that we love new callers, we love new emailers, and you're welcome to chime in any way you see fit. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, of course. How do you reach the program? One, you can participate for free in the chat room, headonradionetwork.com/chatroom. Registration is free and easy. And I promise, we don't send you spam emails, no. We don't know any Nigerians trying to probate their wills or anything. Or you can always email Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, BobKincaid@gmail.com. Or, this being a live radio program, you can always call the program. If you want to save us the toll-free freight, you can dial 304-658-3333 if you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan. Or if you need us to carry the freight for the phone call, you can dial toll-free, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head-on, H-E-A-D-O-N, okay? And it's Moran Monday, so let's get the conversation started. And a reminder, yes, we've done an hour of programming, and we are still $515 from finishing out the month of August. And folks, that's $515 we need. I mean, this isn't going to pay the pool boy or anything. This is what keeps us on the air. You're listening to America's home of conversation radio. You're listening to The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cause I don't want my boat to be rocking anyhow. Please don't you rock my boat, no. Cause I don't want my boat to be rocking. I'm telling you that, oh, ooh, oh, I like it, the light of this. Can you miss? And you should know, ooh, when I like it, I like it this. Am I really in? Ooh, yeah. You satisfy my soul, morning, time, evening, Why am I so? Yes, I've been a telling you. Give me the sweetest shade. Happy inside all the time. Oh, can't you see what you've done for me? Yeah. You make me feel like when we bend the new corner, we feel like sweet state winners, yeah. When we bend the new corner, we feel like sweet state winners. And I said, oh, I like this. Yes, I do. And you should know, when I like this. I got it, just give it. Satisfy my soul, darling. Make me love you in the morning time, yeah. If ever I treated you bad, take it up to me one time. Cause I'm happy inside all the time. I want you beside me, yeah, to be mine. One thing you got to do. Holding hands together, you've got to know that we love each other, yeah. And if every time you should walk away from me, you'll know I need your sympathy, yeah. Can you see? Do you believe me? Oh, darling, darling, I'm calling, calling. Satisfy my soul, satisfy my soul. Never, never give it up now. All in the same boat. Rocking on the same road. Got to get together, loving each other, and can't you see what I've got for you, yeah? I'm happy, 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 and not losing time to be blue.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't worry about that body stuff.
www.doublegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey,
it most assuredly is. 9 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Your home for internet-based conversation radio. On our way to being, depending on how you calculate it, and now that we're nearing the end of August, and assuming we make it to October. God, but who was it? Merle Haggard saying if we just make it to December? I don't know. Well, we're working on making it to September. We'd like to hope for October. Because October is, of course, October will be the 7th anniversary of the internet-only version. But we will have been at it for close to 9 years in terms of me being just, you know, back behind a microphone somewhere. Stunning, huh? Yeah, before we go to the phones, and there are lines open if you want to get jump in. Better to do it now than to wait until 15 minutes before the program ends. And go, no, damn it, I finally worked up my courage. I'm calling. No. Do it now. Screw your courage to the sticking place. Pick up the phone and 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. It works equally well both ways. They both come into the same place, and everybody, your phones are answered in the order in which they were received. Please make a note of it. Okay? Marty asking, moment of silence for Neil Armstrong or just a mention? Yeah, I'd thought about that. Or maybe that an apology is owed to Mr. Armstrong. I don't know what his politics were, but I know that he will forever be a hero to me, because that's the kind of thing that happens when you're 6 or 7 years old and you see a human being walking on the surface of the moon. Those guys become heroes. And he died this weekend. 92 years old, was he? And, Neil, we owe you an apology. We ought to be on our way to we ought to have at least a base on Mars, a colony, maybe hotels even. But we don't. We don't. Mr. Nixon saw that, and so did Mr. Ford, and so did Mr. Carter, and so did Mr. Reagan, and so did Mr. Bush, and so did Mr. Clinton, and so did Mr. Bush, and so too now is President Obama. You know, who wants to go exploring anyway, really? But, yeah, that was, it didn't catch me by surprise, but it kind of made me stop what I was doing for a minute and just think. When do we get another Neil Armstrong? Really? Because, you know, the current model, Lance Armstrong, just isn't cutting. When do we get another Neil Armstrong? Yeah. So let's see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, didn't let you do your introduction. Philip Rockerwell with your end.
Well, hey, Philip, what are you doing?
Okay, doing pretty good. I ran that story today, too, about that sick bastard that hit the boat to the children. That really annoyed me. And what really annoys me is these Tea Partiers and all these people that keep saying homosexuals will affect children. They'll teach that. I'm just so sick of these people, because people like that are the ones that really hurt children or are dangerous to children to begin with. I mean, from a gay man perspective, they're the ones that hurt children, because they teach other children to go and beat the hell out of other children that are gay.
And they teach and they propagate hate. And, Philip, the thing that probably gets to me the most is the fact that they do it in the name of propagating the saving grace of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's it, you know, but they hide behind that. Yeah, this is typical of any religion. Anytime somebody has fears or things they don't like about themselves or stuff they can't rationalize in their head, they turn to their religion. Now, this isn't to say that there isn't good Christian folk out there, even Catholics, you know. I like what the nuns on the bus were doing. But trouble is, you know, we always hear about these freaks, these Tea Party freaks, these evangelical knuckle-dragging bastards that want to go around and take women's rights away, want to have these women have babies when they've been raped and try and justify that, then want to take the food out of the mouth of the living kids. They want to go around talking about how God hates fags. Well, Jesus never talked about that, and unfortunately a lot of people that are spiritual or are Christian get a bad name from people like this guy, but I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. And this Steve King guy, he's going for the sixth term as a congressman. I mean, what the hell is wrong with people? And, you know, I know what's wrong. A lot of it's propaganda, but it's just disgusting. Disgusting me. And the other thing that's really on my mind...
Well, Philip, I will defer to your expert opinion. Well, I don't know if either of us have an expert opinion. But when it gets as vitriolic as, you know, Steve King saying, you know, America would be a better place if these homosexuals would just stop being out in the open and get back in the closet like they were when God loved us in the 50s. I mean, doesn't there reach a point in time where the gaydar starts going on, whoop, 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 yeah, ding, 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 yeah, to the point that it's almost deafening?
Oh, absolutely, because most of the people that I've ran into in my life, and I'm 49 years old now, and, yeah, I've had a lot of experience, especially when I was younger, with homophobic people, whether it was in school or whether it was in my adult life. And 9 times out of 10, turns out they've had some sort of experience. They've enjoyed something. You know, this dirty bastard probably sat on the boat with his male friend looking at gay porn websites while they were drinking. You know, who knows?
Or two guys, boat, like middle of the river, you know, don't get much more romantic than that, does it?
Yeah, nice, except for plowing into a boat of children.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, you know, most of these people, that's their problem.
But what was that boat doing in the way of his family-friendly vessel?
That's right. Well, maybe one of the kids were queer on the boat, so he can justify that and pray to Jesus about it.
Yeah, God sent dead drunk Don Dwyer as an agent of his wrath. I hadn't thought about that angle, Philip.
Yeah, maybe one wasn't queer on there. Yeah, kill them. Who cares? Well, God likes that anyhow. No, kill the queers. I'm just so sick of it. And the other thing that pissed me off that I talked about in my program today was the fact that the Democrats now are putting the gay marriage thing on their platform for the Democratic convention. Now, as a gay man, okay, that's all well and good and nice and stuff, but it kind of pisses me off a little bit, because it's like, are you putting that on the platform so we go and vote?
Yes.
Or do you really give a damn? Because we had 2 years.
Well, it's possible. It's possible for it. It's possible for it to be both. I don't think you can talk about this without engaging in a discussion, Philip, of a little bit of political calculus. One, Barack Obama apparently finally realized, and it's a great moment when he does this kind of thing, that he can't negotiate with himself over gay marriage and gay rights and marriage equality. That remaining silent on the issue of gay marriage was never going to be enough to make any Republicans vote for him. He's not going to get Republican votes. I mean, I would suggest that the statistic will be statistically irrelevant. It will be so tiny in November. So, yes, there were politics involved, but once the political decision was made, it was probably made them all feel considerably better and cleaner in the process, because there's, you know, there's a closet for gay people, Philip, but there's also a closet for people who don't hate gay people but are afraid to say so. And I don't think we talk nearly enough about that second closet. And when you end your silence, when you come out of that closet of silence and you say, I support the right of people who love each other to get married, there are some communities in which you do it at some personal risk. I happen to live in one of those communities, and I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. I'll tell them, the Baptists can keep their bigotry, their prejudices, their hatreds, their sicknesses, and nobody's ever going to make them marry a gay couple. That's fine by me. But you know what? If another church out there wants to marry a couple of gay guys or women, lesbians, transgender, what have you, then that is their right under the First Amendment. And secondarily, if that couple simply wants to go to the courthouse and get married by a judge, that's fine too. It's about the opening of government. It is about the acknowledgement of the rights that are embodied in the Constitution, not somebody's sick, religious, twisted version of pseudo-reality.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And see, the issue here is not about going to the church, per se. You know, they make it that. Oh, you're going to ruin the sanctity of marriage. Oh, horse crap. You know, you want to worry about the sanctity of marriage. Why don't you worry about spousal abuse? Why don't you worry about divorce? Why don't you worry about child abuse in the home? What this is
well,
about,
because doing all of that, doing all of those things are, and this, I think this is an official psychological phrase in the DSM-4, non-hypocritical. And they can't do anything that is non-hypocritical. Let me change subjects with you real quick, Philip. You were talking about on your show, and you've told us a little bit about the station. Are things up and running now?
No, well, as for that station, it turns out it broadcast like out in the desert, so like tumbleweeds and stuff will hear that. And it's on the educational band, and I just don't do educational radio where I have to sit and talk for 2 hours. If I can't say a cuss word or get pissed off about something, I can't do it. And they've got special, for people that have never worked in radio, when you're on the educational band, that's usually below 90 FM, that area where PBS usually is on your radio.
Yeah, but it's also where the Jesus freaks are, too. They buy that bandwidth like crazy.
So there's certain stipulations they have to have. You've got to be, like, nonpartisan. So if you're talking about a Republican, then you have to have a Democrat on. So it's just not...
Oh, no. That's the fairness doctrine. That thing's dead.
Yeah.
I've never heard a right-wing Christian station have an atheist on down at, you know, 91.3. I have a second look. I'd be more worried about the quality of the stick and whether or not it could get into San Diego proper and out past the cacti.
Yeah, that's the problem with this.
Because I was actually going to put in a pitch if you guys were going to try to do something like that.
It'll be a good station and stuff like that.
Well, you need Rick Smith. Rick Smith is made for terrestrial broadcasting, and he needs another outlet, you know, and he's nothing short of amazing, either in rerun or whatever. But, you know, I have to pitch Rick, because there's nobody sharper talking labor issues out there than Rick Smith is. I mean, if you've never heard him, you have missed a real gem. And a lot of people do miss him, Philip, because he follows me at 9 p.m., and there's a whole lot of the audience that goes over and catches Malloy. Rick has a podcast and stuff. I highly encourage you just to download one of his shows, you know, not during the your 6 to 9 time slot, but maybe just download the show after 9 p.m. and listen to an hour or so. You will be absolutely amazed at the quality of the programming.
And where is his stuff located?
Well, you can look for it at whiterosesociety.org, but his stream follows live after my show.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we get Malloy. Well, I could switch it around, though, because I got a couple of selections with Malloy I can do on my Android. But mine I'm doing, I went back to my website, pracuel.livejournal.com. So I'm just streaming my podcast for now. That way I don't have to be on terrestrial radio and I don't have anybody telling me I've got to have a Republican come on and lie on my program. So we won't have any of that.
Indeed. Sure. Well, Philip, it's awful good to hear from you, brother. And don't hesitate. Chime in any time. And, you know, good luck. And anybody doing this knows that it's a struggle. I mean, there's a... That, you know, I don't say bipolar, but it's a two-part struggle. One, until you've done it every day for a few years, you don't realize how difficult it is to get in behind the microphone sometimes and do it because you have to do it. You want to think you're always just going to want to do it, but it's, you know, it's something there has to be consistency and drive and dedication to. And the second part of it all is just keeping the damn thing on the air. And that's, you know, that's where the horn finds itself these days, is, you know, in an absolute struggle for survival. So, I applaud you for getting back at it and staying with it. Everybody who does deserves the admiration of anybody who's ever said, hey, I could do that. Because, it ain't as easy as it seems. Not that I'm not crawling up on the cross or anything, Philip, but you know what I mean.
No, but it's true. You know, a lot of folks don't understand there. Before you do a podcast or a live program, you have to do show before, which, you know, is possibly a couple of hours worth of work, you know, and I include a lot of, for my break, some of the ad council ads. So I have to put the commercial banks together and everything else. So it takes a while to do, but it is a lot of work. It's just not sitting behind the microphone. That's why I'm glad people do contribute to your site. I'll see what I can do with a little contribution to get you up to that 500 if we can. And I want to say one more thing. I love Moron Mondays and the Wednesday program.
Now, that's Moran. Moran.
Oh, Moran.
Yeah, well, as in Get a Brain Morans. You've seen the photo, right? It's named after that great right-winger, that great right-wing pro-war activist in St. Louis with his St. Louis Cardinals jersey on, holding up the sign. He's got his little do-rag on his head, as I recall, and he's got a sign that says, Get a Brain Morans, M-O-R-A-N-S. So, you know, it's named in honor of him. That's the right-wing spelling, and we want to be grammatically and spellingly correct when we're talking about him, right?
There we go, and you're being fair and balanced. Okay, good talking to you. Let some other people get on and see what they got to say today. And you take care.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Philip. You take care. Perfect. Keep at it.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our good buddy Philip of long standing calling from San Diego. Email coming in from Harry. Harry said, Gramsci, Saul Alinsky, and Norman Thomas, personable angels compared to Steve King. Remember, this is who Steve King was fulminating about. The video is lovely because there's a couple of kids. I'd say one's maybe 13, the other's about 9. Little boys sitting there in the front row with their mama, who has dragged them off there to the church to hear their congressman. And this is what they get. Harry writes, I bet Representative Steve King didn't know that Antonio Gramsci had curvature of the spine from childhood and was essentially hunchbacked all of his life. He was hardly a paragon of physical might, but he was well known for his empathy and for his support for the poorest Italian peasants. We would never have been nominated for the International Narcissists Society. And although you may know a lot more about these two next two men than I do, one, Alinsky, as I have briefly read, was apparently a very informal and personable man who wanted to bring local people together and out of their relative isolation in the community. In other words, create community. And then let the community stand on its own hind legs to ask, you never ask power for anything. You tell power you damned well want it. Yeah, and two, moreover, Norman Thomas, the evil communist socialist leader of the 20th century in the U.S. was, according to a sociologist whose mother knew him, a casual and kind man who ignored formal meeting agendas, touched people's forearms when he met them, and held onto their arms as he talked with them, and had an uncanny talent for identifying and then getting the shyest people at a particular meeting to contribute to the conversation. This sociologist believes that Thomas was so relatively effective, despite his political ideology, because he was so low-key in his working style and so interested in other people. And yet the right wing, people like Steve King, would have you believe that they were a bunch of Molotov cocktail hurling Trotskyites who were out to eat the rich. You know, it's not that we want to eat the rich. It's that we would like to prevent the rich from eating us. We understand that they have most of it, but what little bit we have, we would like to hang on to it, and those rotten bastards want it all. They want it all. God. Ray asking, wasn't Clinton's repeal of the Fairness Doctrine the beginning of corporations being people? Well, I hate to say this, Ray, you're about half right. Ronnie Reagan repealed the Fairness Doctrine. In 1996, Bill Clinton joyfully signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Did I say 2006? I meant 1996, if I did. The Telecommunications Act of 1996, which meant that things like, Clear Channel could go out and buy all kinds of newspapers and TV stations and radio stations and could consolidate and entirely own whole markets. And that is where you get the beginnings of the media right-wing juggernaut that we live with today. So, yeah. Let's keep things rolling. Hey, welcome to the pro. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Pretty good. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was quiet. It was quiet. I was going to do a rebuild of the production machine here, and then I realized I couldn't find my OS disk, so I was kind of screwed. But yeah, you know. No, I saw your email. How was your weekend, Mufasa? And yeah. That's what they're calling me over there these days, isn't it?
Well, that's what somebody said, and I thought, well, I said, you know, that's a well chosen name. I wouldn't mind taking that for my own.
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty good about it. It's, I don't know, it's a little bit better than Bad Dad Bob or Bob Al Kinkaida. Both of those were offered up earlier.
God, I remember those days. I'll never forget those days. By God in heaven.
Yeah.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
Well, as Ray noted, you've been around for all of it. I mean, yeah. I remember our first phone call. It was off the air. I was getting ready to go on the air on, you know, some weeknight evening when it was before 5 o'clock, because that meant that the phone answering lady hadn't gone home yet. So, yeah.
It just seems like yesterday. You know, I can't believe this business about this guy on the water, Captain Drunken Hines, out there operating a vote and not being arrested.
There is not a blessed thing in there about him being arrested. Now, that could be one of two things. It could be a journalistic oversight, or it could be the fact that the guy wasn't arrested. He is, after all, a member of the Maryland House of Delegates and a very powerful Tea Party Republican. So maybe, maybe it's one of those cases of IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican, you know, to cause a little 5-year-old girl to be life flighted to Johns Hopkins Children's Medical Center because you drunkenly ran your boat into theirs. Jesus.
Well, yeah, the same rules apply to boats that apply to cars. And this idiot actually collided with another boat, and his boat sank, and his BAC was 0.2?
Yes, 0.2.
Man, he had a load.
Well, right. I mean, and we say these things, Jim, not from the perspective of people who are members of the Women's Temperance Union or anything.
No, not at all. I mean, you know.
I mean, it's like I don't go out on New Year's Eve because it's amateur night.
Right. I mean, we're talking about responsibility. And as far as I'm concerned, and also accountability. And, you know, accountability is the mother of precaution. And for him to place himself in that type of position is one thing, but to not be held accountable for it and not be taken to jail immediately. I mean,
there is absolutely nothing in the news report to suggest that he was.
Well, I don't think.
I mean, for God's sakes, the man held a press conference outside the hospital where he had been treated for, quote unquote, his injuries, unquote.
His injuries. I can imagine what type of. Well, if they obviously did a blood alcohol content on him, and, you know.
But here's the trick, if you're smart about it, Jim. Unless the test is performed at the hospital under conditions designed to yield a result that can be used in court.
Well, there it is, and there you have it.
Then that .20 is meaningless for legal purposes. Because the blood draw has to be done in such a way so that there is no alcohol whatsoever present from an external source in the sample. And unless the hospital can certify that, boom, no evidence.
Well, you know, a little hush money does a lot of talking. And in his case, I'm sure it was swept under the rug because of his political background.
Well, I mean, I'm just sitting here looking. 7 o'clock, boat struck a smaller vessel with five children on board. And, you know, this guy has one of those, well, here, let's be a little crass. I'm sure this guy has one of those short dick boats. You know, the great big humongous, you know, sea behemoth, and there's two people on it. You know, maybe, I don't know, a 47 footer or something. I'm sure it was no sailboat.
No, I'm sure it was probably a Tony Soprano special.
Yeah, or maybe a cigarette or something like that. No, Dwyer later admitted, see, the wording of the story is important here, Jim. Dwyer later admitted to having a blood alcohol level of 0.2, twice the legal limit. It is true that I was drinking while operating my boat, he told a press conference outside the Maryland Shock Trauma Center in Baltimore, where he is being treated.
Well.
And I regret my actions. I ask for forgiveness. We're praying.
Well, then his sorry ass ought to be made to pay for everything as far as those children's hospital bills. And further.
Well, you want to bet he doesn't have a lick of insurance on that boat?
I
mean, I
don't know.
Any Marylanders want to opine as to whether or not there's compulsory insurance for liability insurance on one's boat?
Yeah, I'll be glad to, because I used to live in Maryland.
Did you boat in Maryland? I mean, is it required that one carry liability insurance on one's boat in Maryland?
Absolutely. The same rules apply to a boat, at least in that state, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm pretty, you know.
Okay, so in other words, you just, the insurance will handle it. Hope the little tyke's okay.
Yeah, you have to have all types of insurance, because, I mean, Bob, when you're driving a boat, it's not like driving a car. You just don't throw on the brakes.
It doesn't come to a screeching halt.
No, not at all. I mean, if that were so, I mean, the fate of the Titanic would have been somewhat different. But nonetheless...
Yeah, all stop doesn't mean all stop right now.
Right. I mean, you have to at least I'm not sure what the distance is. It depends on how many knots you're going, but nonetheless, you have to brake very carefully. And you know, the brakes on the car don't work when you're on a boat. That's it. And of course, this guy probably was out there and drunk as a lord. And like I say, I call him Captain Drunken Hines. And
Drunken Hines. It took me a minute. That's pretty damn good, Jim.
Well, I mean, you know, I wonder what time of day was this? Was it like at dusk?
7 p.m.
Okay, it's about, well, 7:37. Well, he had enough light to see.
Sure, he probably just couldn't see over the bow of that behemoth, you know, a little dinghy with five children in it and two adults.
Oh, that's just incredible. That's just incredible. And the guy ought to be under the jail for doing something like that. He really should. I mean, if it sank his boat, God only knows what he did.
Well, there is a little bit of delicious irony in this whole story, Jim, and I didn't get around to it. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity. It turns out this freak had authored, you're familiar with the old saying to be hung up on one's own petard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is that. He had authored a bill in the Maryland legislature that would remove from office any legislator convicted of a serious criminal offense.
Well, if that's not being hoisted on one's petard, I don't know what the hell is. That's for damn sure. You know, it's just amazing how these people can get up there and portray themselves as the proponents of morality and fair play and all that's supposed to be good and shining, and yet in their own personal lives, they feel as though they don't have any type of responsibility to place themselves against the same measure of accountability.
Well, and get this. He was wheeled out of the shock and trauma center in a neck brace with a cast on his left foot to make it, to do his press conference.
Oh, well, that's just incredible. Just incredible, absolutely. But like I say, you know, he's an example of these people who are trying to...
Look, I think we can say that booze and a surfeit of it will make smart people into idiots. Booze will make a teabagger into someone positively paleolithic.
Oh, God, can you imagine being in a place where these teabaggers are gathered and for them to have a couple shots and just really start allowing what the mirror may cover their hideous carcasses. Can you imagine what that might be like?
Well, I mean, granted, we have entered the realm of the cattily speculative, Jim, but what are you doing in your big old boat that you don't see a bunch of children in another boat getting ready to get crashed into by you? I mean, it's two guys alone on a boat in the river. They're not out in the... I mean, I don't know where this river, particular river, is, but, you know, we're not talking about out in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay.
What were they on, the Patuxent?
No. No, it was the McGothy.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Big river? Little river?
Good-sized river.
Okay.
Good-sized river, yeah. Definitely enough where you could maneuver around if you were even at the wheel of the boat. But, you know, this goes into further things, too. I mean, these people are not really at the wheel of their own boats, either on the water or off the water.
No, and they get liquored up, and they're assuming for a minute that they weren't out in the middle of the river so that they wouldn't get caught in a men's room somewhere. You know, they're out there in the middle of the river, and they're liquored up. And, you know, I can't believe we got to stop these illegal aliens from voting, and... You know, I want to see that little bastard's birth certificate.
Yeah, you just said it. Imagine the conversation once a pair of these turds on two legs get good and liquored up. Just imagine.
Now, listen, I've heard it all my life when I have had the misfortune to be around groups of people like that, particularly when they are galvanized into allowing their inner psyche to be revealed by alcohol. You know how it is. I mean, I've often said that the real truth inside a person sometimes is spilled on the lips of the drunken man. And whether these guys were discussing politics or playing the rang dang do, who knows? But I mean, it's just, the key word in my opinion here is just the utter hypocrisy of these people.
Absolutely.
CNN today.
Yeah, the 200 proof variety.
Right. I was watching Wolf Blitzer interview the chairman of the Tea Party, this woman in Tampa who's there for the convention today, and oh, boy, she was going on and going on and going on, and then they had Herman Cain come on, and Herman Cain was calling Wolf Blitzer Blitz. I thought to myself, Blitz.
Well, I've called him worse, fact of the matter is.
You know, and the way he was reacting to Cain, I was sorry to say, you know, it'll be shit. But nonetheless, Herman Cain said that he was going to have a full-scale investigation about all these remarks that were made about his peccadilloes when he was trying to run for the presidency, and he said that he would spend any amount of money to clear his good name.
Well, maybe he can get O.J. to find the slanderer.
I was thinking the same thing.
It ain't got to go too far, Jim.
No, not at all. But I mean, you know, the mentality of these people and what their think state is and what their level of consciousness is just too much. And it is so hypocritical. And like your former caller said, all these gay bashing people, I mean, if they were so mighty and self-righteous, then why can't they attend to their own business rather than
right? Mine? But they're obsessed with the beam in everyone else's eyes and utterly oblivious to the moat that's in theirs. I think it's a character flaw, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, we have an update on from Benedict on. Maybe there will be some justice come of this. Benedict dug up a little more detail. Sergeant Brian Albert, a spokesman for the Department of Natural Resources Police, said he did not know how Dwyer was aware of his blood alcohol content. Natural Resources investigators collected a blood sample from Dwyer and are waiting for analysis results from a state lab, which could take 30 days. Pending the analysis, DNR police will determine what charges, if any, will be filed. Now, Sergeant Albert also said Dwyer had one passenger on the 26-foot Baja closed bow runabout. That ain't no dinghy.
No.
And here's the irony part, being as how it's Monday and everything. Identifying the passenger as John Edward Moran the IV. It is Moran Monday.
Well, I think they were both in equally good company.
They were.
These people just, you know, if they want to do this, instead of getting out on a craft like that, why can't they just stay at home behind closed doors? I mean,
you know how it goes. You know, you're sitting there and you're sitting there in Annapolis or whatever, and you think, well, John Edward Moran the IV, we've had us a couple of beers here at the Shipwreck Bar. Let's take my 26-foot runabout out on the river and have a few more and watch the sunset, John Edward Moran the IV.
They could watch the sunset from the balcony of his whatever, and they don't have to get out in a boat and stuff like that. I mean, you know, as far as my position on drinking is concerned, I mean, I enjoy my cocktails, and I've made no bones about that. But the last thing you'll ever see me do
is go jump behind a wheel?
Even leave my front door. I mean, you know, that's just axiomatic with me, because I had an experience back in 1974 in which I got popped for DUI.
And you are a wise man, Jim, and consequently a word to the wise is sufficient.
Absolutely. I mean, I know what it's like to spend the night on a stony lonesome and having some guy to tell you to use the steel toilet for a pillow and to pull up the concrete for a blanket. And I hadn't had that much to drink. I had a taillight that was out.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. I mean, you know, there it is. And so I don't mind telling you this, and I've shared a lot of my responsibilities and stories with you, but it sure as hell taught me a lesson. And I will never forget that.
And that's 1974, before they got real hard-ass about it.
Oh, yeah, but let me tell you something. I walked for 6 months.
Yeah.
And had to go to ADSAP and all this stuff, and, you know, had to go through all that, and man, after doing that, the last thing I wanted to ever do was to repeat that experience.
Amen.
I mean, that's what cabs are for. Unfortunately, when you're at sea, you can't call a cab. And, you know, I hope they bust that guy, and I hope they send him straight to Davy Jones' locker. Well, he sent his boat to change.
Well, that's the thing that kind of threw me about what Benedict posted in the chat room, Jim. I love cop speak. Pending the analysis, DNR police will determine what charges, if any, will be filed. A 5-year-old little girl was life-flighted to Johns Hopkins Children's Medical Center.
What do you mean, what charges, if any? I mean, can we at least not, I mean, is there not a charge equivalent to the highway charge? I mean, we've got it here in West Virginia, called failure to maintain control of one's vehicle.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the laws against DUI and stuff like that and against driving or operating any type of vehicle or boat or whatever are even stricter in Maryland than they are here. I mean, that's something you just don't do. I mean, that's just the way it is. Having been a former resident of that state when I lived in D.C., because I lived in Northern Virginia, I lived in Maryland when I worked at Andrews. And there were a lot of fellow coworkers who had boats and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, my boss lived in Annapolis. And, you know, I have been to her home. And I can guarantee you one thing, the last thing you want to do in the state of Maryland is to be pulled over while intoxicated, or even
unless one is a powerful teabag and a member of the I hope that doesn't get him out, but that does create questions with that DNR sergeant saying, you know, we don't know how he got his blood test results because we took blood.
Well, did the Coast Guard draw it? Or I mean, somebody had to have been there.
Well, I imagine he got his own sample drawn for evidentiary purposes.
Well, if it was .2, it certainly did not serve his advocacy, did it not?
Well, no, it didn't. And he's hoping, I think he probably knows how drunk he was, and he's hoping that .2, which probably was drawn in the hospital after a 2 or 3 hour wait in the ER. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Oh, hell no, it wasn't no .46. It's .20. That's a mitigator for punitive damages. You know, Mr. Gibson in the chat room just said, Bob, I want to see not only medical bills of those kids paid, but a $250,000 college fund provided if that bastard isn't going to jail. You know what? Apparently Mr. Gibson only wants him to go to community college. Takes a hell of a lot more than any $250K, that's for damn sure.
Well, you're right there.
Well, Jim, have yourself a wonderful evening, my friend.
Well, same to you. Thank you.
We will talk soon. Bye now.
Good night.
Our good buddy Jim. And onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Liberal in South Carolina.
Well, hey, Lib. What's up, brother?
Man, a lot. And I tell you, Jim's a hard act to follow.
Yes, he is.
That man is so scary smart. We talked about it in the chat room. Everybody is welcome in. Thank you very much. Just a whole lot of stuff. I mean, this world keeps getting crazier and crazier. I saw that article about Boat Boy.
Dead drunk Don Dwyer?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start calling him Quad B or 4D.
That would fit. There's some other stuff, and I'm selling my Facebook page.
Yeah.
LiberalN.sc, all one word, on Facebook. I've got all these articles posted. Do you know who's closing out the GOP convention?
Oh dear God, no. Sarah Palin? Ted Nugent?
No, the benediction is a Catholic bishop who paid off people to hide the pedophiles.
Nice. No Mormon bishop in sight, I suppose. No elder, no apostle, no prophet. No.
Well, no, he's the nominee.
Oh, well, that's true. He is a bishop, isn't he?
Yes.
Bishop Willard.
Yeah, they got that base covered, you know. So this will be short.
I got to tell you, as far as the schedule this week is concerned, I was dismayed. Well, not dismayed. Tired, old, worn out, doesn't even have Steve Perry with it anymore. Journey is performing at the convention.
Oh, boy.
But the one that really got me down and the excuse made in the news article is, well, they're only doing it because, I mean, they're just events around the convention. They don't see it as partisan politics. It's just another gig. The Zac Brown Band. And that kind of got me down because the Zac Brown Band is known for instance, they contributed the profits of a song that you could purchase through. Are you familiar with the clothing manufacturer Patagonia?
No.
It's too expensive for me to ever be able to wear, but they're a very environmentally conscious outdoor gear, outdoor clothing company that makes some really cool stuff. And you know, he's worked on environmental causes and stuff with them, but they took money from the Republican National Convention to play for those filthy Klansmen? Ew.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I've been a big REI fan.
Yeah.
For many years, and
well, it's in the same vein. There's REI, there's North Face, Patagonia, and the thing is, Patagonia actually gives money to environmental causes and environmental grassroots organizations. So if I could afford their clothing, I would buy it. But you know,
yeah, well, REI used to be, you know, way back when, you know, consumer tested and rated. And in Desert Storm, we used to get boxes in the mail out in the desert, and we were eating freeze-dried gourmet meals in Iraq in, what was it, 1991?
Yeah, Bush, I call that Bush War.
While everybody else was eating K-rations or MREs, you know, so... Yeah, that's my feeling about that. But back to the convention, Maddow pointed this out, I think, on Friday. Actually, some friends of mine who I worked with for 2 years are also there. Papa Mau Mau.
Wait.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Well, of course they are.
Not friends of George W.
But they like Willard.
They campaigned for HW, and you know, good friends of Ronnie way back when. And I will straight up tell you, out of the four boys, if they are vertical, two of them are stoned to death. I'm just telling you, I only worked with them for 2 years. And they are good guys. I honestly do like the guys, but I'm not so up on their politics. But anyways, you got me off on a tangent there. There's also a video that I put up on my my Facebook page. Some guy went out with a video camera to an abortion.
A women's health clinic? Oh, an anti-abortion protest.
Anti-abortion thing. And he just, you know, put cameras in people's faces and says, oh, so abortion should be illegal. And, oh, yeah, it should be illegal. And then he asked him, so what would the jail term be for that? Oh no, they don't need to go to jail. God will punish them.
Oh, so God won't forgive them?
No.
I thought everybody got forgiven. I mean, Hitler's in heaven, right?
Well, the Mormons baptized him, didn't they?
Yes. So he's in Mormon heaven too.
But this video is so funny because all of these people holding huge signs with aborted fetus pictures on them.
Of course they were. God, they make me sick.
And and the guy is asking them, so what should be the jail term? Oh, they shouldn't go to jail. God will deal with them. Yeah, but if it's illegal, shouldn't it be, you know, shouldn't there be a fine or you know, what's the punishment? Oh, God will take care of it. Well, then why the hell?
Well, and they'll take care of it for God. You know, there's nothing like a good stoning.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, come on, let's go to the stoning.
It worked back in the old days, didn't it? I tell you, I'm not going to take much of your time. I had a whole litany of stuff, but I didn't take notes, and then I got in the chat room, and then my brain went blank, especially listening to good people like Jim. But
you've done fine. Probably, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, and shout out to Tracy.
Oh yeah.
Get well, sister. You know, we're all thinking about you. But
cool. Well, good. Thanks a bunch, Liv. It's always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good fight, brother.
We're trying. We're trying. Just got to get to September.
Pedal as fast as you can. Oh, you brought up the Lance Armstrong thing. that was a good line. That. The other night on Twitter, I saw the best thing ever. Mars Base Armstrong.
No, it has to be Mars Base Neil Armstrong. Or Lance will try to sell
right.
Little gummy bands on it.
Right. Point. Okay. Yeah, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. See you.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, brother. Have a great night.
You too. Take care, Lib.
All right.
Bye now. No, really, it has to be Mars Base Neil Armstrong. There are people looking. Hey, did you see what happened today at Mars Base Livestrong? Yeah. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
My goodness. More and more Monday overload. I mean...
Well, you know, at least now we know who the Moran was boating with. He was boating with Moran.
Boating with? Did you hear what that Tom Smith guy said? Did you hear?
No, what?
Oh, yeah, where... he was kind of, you know, Aiken said the wrong things or what have you, but, you know, it's rape is, you know, pregnancy with rape is like having a baby out of wedlock or something.
Oh, is this the goober from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I love this. Interviewed by the Associated Press. Let's share this with everybody because it's just precious. Mark Scolforio with the Associated Press. Asking teabag and right-wing freak Tom Smith, the Republican challenging Senator Bob Casey's seat in the Senate. He said, Scolforio asked him, how would you tell a daughter or a granddaughter who, God forbid, would be the victim of a rape? This is the 1988 Michael Dukakis question, okay? How would you tell a daughter or granddaughter who, God forbid, would be the victim of a rape to keep the child against her own will? Do you have a way to explain that? Teabag and Senate candidate Tom Smith says, I lived something similar to that with my own family. She chose life, and I commend her for that. She knew my views. But fortunately for me, I didn't have to. She chose the way I thought. No, don't get me wrong. It wasn't rape. Similar how, then? Having a baby out of wedlock? Scolforio. That's similar to rape? Well, no, but put yourself in a father's situation. Yes, it is similar. But back to the original. I'm pro-life, period.
It's similar, yeah.
Well, actually, wouldn't that be I'm pro-life, no period?
Well, how about, you know, sex with a woman is like sex with a man. There's only a couple hormones. It's similar, right?
Yeah, it's chromosomes, man.
Right, it's just a couple chromosomes, some, you know, a couple of enzymes and or enzymes, what have you. It's just unbelievable. Every time they open their mouth, every time the mask is just coming off and off and off. I mean, Republican women, I mean, it's, I know a few of them, and they're just aghast. I can't believe this. They just...
Wait. Are you saying that this is about... You said you know a couple of Republican women, and they're just aghast? Did they not know what party they belong to, Albert?
I don't understand what it is. I don't know if it's like that little earwig-looking worm that gets in your ear from Star Trek. I don't know what it is, but it's tough for them to renounce these things, you know. I mean, it's stupid things like, you know, fear. You know, the amygdala screams, you know, you need your guns, Democrats, take your guns, that's what you've been told your whole life. And now what? First day of school, let's have another school shooting. Well, I mean, if the students were armed, I mean, the high school, middle school students were armed, I mean, this wouldn't have happened, right? It just is it's a relentless stream of fear. And, you know, I mean, someone better warn those strippers down there in Tampa, you know, they better tell them that story of the frog and the scorpion. I mean...
Did you happen to see the Onion video footage coverage of the gay prostitutes excited Republicans coming to town in Tampa?
No, but I will definitely be on that right
now. Oh, it was... It was so true. It was just so true, Brother Albert. It could have been, you know, ripped from the headlines, as they say over at what Law and Order Crossing Guard Unit, whatever that's on now.
So I don't know if you happened to catch up with Chris Hayes this weekend.
No, I didn't.
Well, you can always go back. They stream them. And I certainly would recommend it to everyone. And especially pay attention to the part where I think Michael Steele, this is just right after he leaves, but you kind of have to watch it so you can hear about the Mitt Romney's, the guy, he looks Indian. Not the other guy that made the stupid, horrible movie, but some other, you know, Romney's trying to get the cultural, you know.
Oh, wait, is this the Dinesh D'Souza movie?
No, the Dinesh D'Souza movie, yeah, I wasn't talking about that guy. No, he has some advisor that is another Indian guy. And
Piyush Jindal? No, sorry, that was unfair.
I don't know who, but, you know, so they, you know, they're trying to, I don't know, it feels like they're trying to play down the race card. Like, oh, Mitt Romney, oh, you know, like even though black people just got it, they're still not allowed to go to heaven, but they can be in the Mormon church and pay their tithe.
Yeah, they don't get, no, they haven't reached planetary acquisition status.
They're not cleared for level 3.
Planet Kolob. Planet Kolob.
Yes. Well, they had this guy on there, and, you know, they were trying to, I think the lady that was on was trying to make some cheap points about how, you know, in the 1860s, the Democrats were the racists, you know.
Yeah, and, that one wore out with me a long time ago. Well, in the 1840s, because have you seen this one? That now they, really, not kidding, because I haven't seen, I don't recall any time in my life that I've seen a president compared to him. Well, no, I do. I remember when George W. Bush invaded Iraq and the inevitable the comparison of the Mexican War came around. But no, Mitt Romney is saying he wants to be a president for America like James K. Polk was a president for America. You know, slave-owning James K. Polk.
Yeah, well, dig a little deeper. Just a little bit. Try, you know, some 14th century Hungarian king or something.
Well, I kind of did that.
I know.
You know, I've been reading this book, and it's taking me forever, right?
Which book? Where were you?
It's called A Distant Mirror. It's about the 14th century.
Oh, okay.
Roadmap? Well, I ran across a quote from Ms. Tuckman's book. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I found a description of a noble, you know, a wealthy dude, a one percenter, in the 14th century.
Mm.
And so I
you know, the neat thing about Kindle is that you can highlight it and then tweet it.
Oh, sweet.
So, just noting, look, it's a medieval Romney. Remember the story of Willard tormenting the kid in his school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a guy in the 14th century. He was a man of wicked, and this is the quote from the book. He was a man of wicked life who, in the words of a chronicler of his age, corrupted and schooled youth in debaucheries and held commoners and the poor in hatred and contempt. He called them dogs. Well, we've got a presidential candidate who strapped his dog to the top of a car. And with blows of sword and whip took pleasure in forcing them to imitate barking. If a servant displeased him, he would force the man to lie on the ground and, standing on his back, would kick him with spurs, crying, "Bark, dog," in response to his cries of pain. Uge de Gersay, or something, was the dude's name. In history, he created a debauchery because the 1% are always bored. They're always looking for one more thing to give them a little bit of a, you know, just a little boost in the way that they feel about their otherwise miserable lives. You know, they wind up getting liquored out and going out and running over children in boats and shit like that, Brother Albert. But in the case of this goober in the 14th century, they were looking for a way to amuse the wedding party of a woman who was had been widowed twice and was marrying her third husband, which was said to be, you know, great fun. That's a real knee slapper, that widow woman getting married three times. So what they did is all these guys had their bodies, and this is really, you know, this is just a moment. I mean, this sounds like something Republicans would do. Or, you know, maybe the British royal house with the young princes dressing up as Nazis at a costume party. Only in the 14th century, what you did was you danced in front of the women as wild men of the forest, Brother Albert. And the way they did it is they got cloth, linen, and they soaked it in paraffin or pitch and covered it in hemp fibers to make them look like hairy beasts of the forest. Roar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were. It was it became known in history as Le Bal des Ardents, the dance of the burning men. You wonder why? Well, because torches were forbidden in there. One of the burning men was actually the young half mad king of France, and a guy came in against orders carrying a torch. Hey, why don't you want a torch in here, Charlie? Woof. And one of the guy notorious for yelling, "Bark, dog," went up in flames. And when they carried his casket through Paris, the 99% threw stones at it and jeered and yelled, "Bark, dog!"
Oh, thank you, goddess.
She's been around a long time, that goddess of irony.
Yes, she has. She's working overtime these years, I'm telling you. Goodness gracious, it's ceaseless.
Well, and I mean, I mention all of that for a reason. She is a goddess of irony, and I have proof. And the proof comes in the form of a clip from Fox News this morning. You seen this?
No.
Well, we'll have to deal with the audio only. But it was a big day because all five of Willard Romney's sons were on the program at the same time. With me so far? And, you know, I understand the value of good bumper music. Lord knows I try to provide a nice tune here and there that's appropriate or somehow speaks to the previous or coming subject matter. Well, the five Romney boys, one of whom has a mouthful of teeth just like an Osmond.
Yeah.
Curious that. But the five Romney boys appeared on Fox and Friends this morning. This was the intro music, and this is the introduction.
And we are sitting down with all five Romney sons. They are answering your emails, top of the hour, but first we're serving them breakfast.
Doesn't it
make your night, Albert?
I got a cramp in my face. for a while I thought it was going to be, you know, thing and that other one. How was that? Make a little, have a little dance, make a little love, let's get down tonight. That's
No. Fox and Friends went straight for the gay anthem.
Do they even know? Are they ready to...
No, but there's not a gay member of this audience, and a lot of straight ones who are clutching at, you know, who are getting cramps in their faces from laughing. The five Osmonds, I mean Romneys, were introduced to the single most well-recognized. I mean the Westboro Baptist people recognize that song as a gay club anthem. Fred Phelps taps his toes when he hears, they scream, the Abomination song's what it is. But, no, they really, maybe that was to court the log cabin vote. I don't know, Albert.
Like, what? I don't know whether, I'm kind of torn. I mean, I don't know if it's that they're just so ignorant, or... Was it an intent? I mean, if it was an intent, then that's a funny joke, and hopefully that we have infiltrators in Fox News. But if it's kind of scary if they don't even get it. It's a speech. It just rips my speech section out of my brain right out. I can't even. They played It's Raining Men for the. For Starship Crew, I mean, I don't even know, Romney, I don't, how does this happen?
Make it
how do these people?
Make it so, San Juan.
It's so ripe, it's so juicy and sweet, I want to savor it.
Well, if there were five more Osmonds, I mean, Romneys, we'd know that one of them was gay. You know, as it is, there's at least a 1 in, 20 chance? That one, and so maybe one of them was silently, way, way, way back in the closet, just must not tap toes, must not tap toes.
Yeah, it was a test. But no, what about the viewers? I mean, they should know.
No, come on, this is the Fox audience. This is the Radio Rwanda audience, Brother Albert. I mean, the median viewing age is 94 and a half.
Oh, they're hip. Oh, yeah, that Fox, they got their finger on the pulse, boy.
Yeah, I don't know, that song doesn't, I'd be worried about them if they played a little Cole Porter or something.
He can't win this. He can't win this. But if he does, God is forbid, if he wins, we could change that song to It's Raining Mitt. That's what I thought. I thought somebody was making a parody. Yeah, they couldn't be doing this. There's no way they could be. We could be It's Raining Mitt, where we're all outside and sitting around the fuel drum fire and huddled up for warmth and wondering if them cans of beans are warmed up enough, and we could just sing It's Raining Mitt to lift our spirits. Swiss Mitt, huh? Swiss Mitt.
Oh, now you've seen that one, right?
Which one?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. You haven't. Can I take a minute of your call to share a little something?
Certainly. Most certainly.
It's
not gonna make me start reeling again. I don't know if I can handle it.
No, I don't know. You might get another face cramp.
All right, I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I don't think you'll need the straps. This is just cute. the Peter Godbold sent this to me the other day, so you know where it's going, right? Swiss Miss, indeed.
Hi, Romney.
Hi, Miss.
Do you have something to hide?
Well, yeah, jump in.
I'm a Romney girl in a Romney world. Life is taxless. It's fantastic. Stupid, tip your hair. Tax shelters everywhere. Oxford's nation. Fame is his creation.
I met Romney, let's go party.
I'm a Romney girl in a Romney world. He's so plastic, it's fantastic. Silver tip your hair, tax shelters everywhere. Oxford's nation, Fame is his creation. He's a boss millionaire.
Singers, of course, the Swiss Miss. All done up with the dirndl and, you know, the it looks more Bavarian than Swiss, but you know, who the hell might quibble?
Well, you got to see. I don't know if you've ever seen that gif of Mittens, but it's basically one of those Ken dolls, and it looks exactly like him, and it's, I don't know, it was on one of those show, Adult Swim, I think, you know, they would have, like, the Ken dolls, and they would talk, ha, 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 that kind of thing.
Yes.
They have him and sitting there. He's all plastic and shiny. I like money. Ha, 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 ha. He's just laughing. He is a freaking, he is that. Hey, this guy is the squarest square there is. I mean, we all know the love of a pimp is different from the love of a square.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, he wants to put, what, $4 trillion more dollars in defense spending, and, you know, he can't even shoot the reality. You know, Obama sits there and cut, what, $700 billion in crap, you know, in overcharging and fees and all kinds of other. That was part of the deal, right, the hospitals made so their emergency rooms would stop getting, you know, inundated with, you know, uninsured people. And, you know, raising their costs up, you know, this and this and that. Yeah, they make some money, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. Sometimes doctors do have a heart, and, you know, they still believe in science. And, like, you know, what North Pole? Well, you know, we're sending ships through there. Global warming, schmorming, right? Right. You know, and I loved how God has sent that hurricane. You know, it has to go back around, though. Then I'd really buy it. If it stops in New Orleans, goes out a little bit, then comes, boom. Does one of those little hook spins. I hope she puts some English on it. That's all I'm saying. You know, I don't want nobody getting hurt, but they don't listen. There's nothing that you can say to them, you know? I mean, the North Pole is, what is it? It's the biggest melt they've ever seen. They've ever even seen. Yeah, there's some still there, but, you know, the Northwest Passage is open. You know, we got icebergs calving, you know. Glaciers calving, you know, icebergs twice the size of Manhattan. Like, you know, that's normal. Chunks of, you know, size of Delaware, Maryland, dropping off of Antarctica. You know, not now, now it's their winter. But I don't understand how it's taking these people so long to get it. And we really do need them to kind of just get it, just to acknowledge some reality. Because the minute they acknowledge the reality, just like them farmers down in Iowa who put a couple, you know, they lost a couple square feet of their farm, but, man, they're getting some money from them windmills.
Yep. Right, and you know, you mentioned the windmills. First, it was the Republican governor of Iowa who said, Willard, need to talk about that windmill tax credit, buddy. We got a bunch of people in this state working in the wind energy sector, and we'd like for them to continue having jobs. Well, we had another one of those has come out. I mean, not come out. But, this one's from Colorado. Representative Scott Tipton. He's a pig licking, sure enough, you know, loves the little fetuses and all of that stuff. But he did an interview with Think Progress recently, and he said, this is an industry that has explained to us a viable technology that can be competitive with other fuel sources that are going to be out there. Is it going to be the primary one that could actually fill in to be able to take off some of that load? And the Think Progress interviewer says, so you're saying probably maintain it for 2 years? Well, that's what we've called for. We're actually going to work with the industry because that's what they tell us, and then they don't need this. You want to cut it off when they're on the cusp of being where we want them to be and to be able to create jobs and be able to be part of the energy solution? No, I don't think we do. His party does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, yeah, but oil, you know, ExxonMobil, they can have subsidies for 120 years of subsidy. You know, I don't understand why it's such a, you know, they don't want to use the other edge of this. You know, I don't understand, like, I was actually speaking to a Republican. He at least had sense. He didn't try to sell me the line of BS about birds and windmills, but he would then, you know, I appreciate that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, paint them purple. The birds can see them. They won't hit them. But in the meanwhile, residential and commercial windows kill more birds in 10 minutes than windmills will kill in 10 years, but whatever.
And my cat might, too, if she hadn't have gotten it. Oh, it's the funniest thing, Albert. The Agnes forgot to put away the catnip.
Mm.
Just kind of set it on top of the microwave.
Yeah.
We got up this morning to find our cat wallowing in a stupor. Having ripped open the catnip bag and scattered it from here to yonder. I mean, she had catnip in her fur and was just rolled over on her back going, dude! It was funny. I mean, just, and every now and then she'd go back to it and just wallow in it some more. But, I mean, you know, kind of the way Republicans treat money, but I'm sorry.
You know, I like money, though.
Yep.
I don't know if I told you about MIT's recent study that they just released, basically stating that over the next 50 years, with an $800 million investment, now $800 million is a lot, but that's about the price of one of them, you know, it's actually less than the price of one of them new fancy clean coal burners.
Probably by the time the cost overruns are done, considerably less.
Yeah, $800 million to $1 billion. The United States could develop geothermal energy in the production area of 100 1,000 gigawatts. That is...
That's a lot of watts.
That's a lot of gigawatts.
You'll understand why I said that in a minute.
That is unbelievable that we haven't... I mean, drill, yes, drill. Don't frack aquifers. Don't destroy aquifers that you can't rebuild. Don't blow up mountains that you can't replace. Don't sit here and destroy every. I mean, all you gotta do is drill a couple holes, put down the right system. You know, I mean, that's what your computer heat sinks. You know, those water tubes, you know, those tubes that go into fans and all that other stuff. There's water in those tubes, and that water's at a vacuum. And because we've understood physics and science for a little while, we know that water in a vacuum boils at a much lower temperature. Well, that boiling water releases steam, and that steam can drive turbines. 100,000 gigawatts. The United States, that's, I don't have the percentages right in front of me, but it's 2%. We use 2% of that, basically, in a year. In a whole year. 2%. Now, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. What can't we do with electrons? Everything we need to have done, not just in this country, but in all over the world, right? Deserts in Africa. We literally could, you know, start terraforming the planet with enough electrons. We could turn deserts into productive areas. We could just pull, we would have to. If they're burning light bulbs for that, and we're putting out 98 times more power than we actually consume, and we gotta do something with these electrons, goodness gracious, what couldn't we do? What couldn't we do? We'd have to just...
Well, Brother Albert, I think you're pointing out the essential dangers of that kind of green energy. It sounds like we might have some massive electron spills.
Well, that would be for 4th of July and a half.
Can I share something with you?
Absolutely.
Fred Pace is the editor down to the Coal Valley News in West Virginia in Boone County.
Mm-hmm.
Boone County's been blasted all to hell and back by mountaintop removal, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't even have a car in Boone County without going out and wiping the coal filth off every day. Well, on August the 3rd, Fox News, remember, it's a brand name, not an actual statement of purpose. On August the 3rd, 2012, Fox News sent roving Fox News reporter, come on, where's his name? I had it there.
Sergeant Major.
No, Todd Starnes, roving Fox News reporter, down to interview some coal country citizens at the Boone County Coal Festival. The West Virginia 2012 Coal Festival down in Madison, West Virginia, and interviewed James R. Clendenin, maintenance director of Patriot Coal Corporation, which is presently in bankruptcy and looking for ways to screw their workers out of their pensions.
Naturally.
State Senator Ron Stallings, he's a local physician on Main Street. Larry V. Lodato, director of the Boone County Community and Economic Development Office, which doesn't do either, because they're all sucked up in coal. Mike Baston of Express Cable in Danville. And Eddie Alford of J.H. Fletcher, a mine machinery company based in Huntington. All right? Interestingly, they couldn't find anybody who wasn't a friend of coal for this here Fox News interview. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Stallings, for instance, said, "The EPA changed the rules in midstream and vetoed many mining permits, leading to hundreds of coal mining layoffs in Boone County." Never mind the fact that all the coal mining layoffs in Boone County were noted by the companies themselves at the time the layoffs went down as being economically driven by the market price of coal, not the Obama war on coal.
Yep.
Right?
I remember you giving us that warning. Remember that. Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, Todd Starnes, roving Fox News reporter in his stentorian Starnes voice, said, Brother Albert, "If the Obama administration and the EPA can let the coal industry suffer in Boone County, West Virginia, which is the gateway to the coal fields, it can happen in any community." You know, even the ones that don't have coal.
Yeah.
"The president promised clean coal initiatives when he ran for office, but that's not what the people of Boone County and West Virginia got." Well, those dumb bastards, and that includes Todd Starnes, Brother Albert, seem to have forgotten that all that clean coal technology was in something called the Cap and Trade Bill that had in excess of $10 billion. You know, you're talking about the little pissant $1 billion a minute ago? It had $10 billion in clean coal technology welfare in it. But Joe Manchin, my senator, in order to prove his undying loyalty to the coal industry, took a .30-06 out in the woods and pinned up the cap and trade bill to the tree, and he shot it dead. Now, granted, before he shot it dead, he looked at the cap and trade bill and said, "Pick up the gun." Right? So that's Todd Starnes, roving Fox News reporter. But then he got to talking to people like Senator Stallings, who also added, "Coal is as clean burning as you can get in America, but we're not going to burn it in America because of EPA regulations. Our coal is going to be shipped overseas."
No.
And then Larry Lodato, Larry Lodato is the director of the Boone County Community and Economic Development Authority. He said, "Our coal miners are not looking for a handout. All they want is a permit to work. Our county's way of life is under attack. What the government doesn't get is that for every coal mining job, there are at least 6 coal-related workers whose families depend directly on the mining industry." Everybody. I mean, you know, look at...
Oh, they're desperate. India doesn't, you know, yeah, does India burn coal right now? Yes. Does China burn coal right now? Yes. Are they going to continue? No. They know they cannot sustain that.
What I love, though, is the journalism speak, because after these interviews, then Fox News roving reporter Todd Starnes said, coal miners are a proud people, and many here in Boone County believe Obama's broken promises and the EPA are to blame for the loss of coal mining jobs. Notice how he used believe as opposed to know, because it's not true. Actually, mining jobs went up in the first 3.5 years of the Obama administration. They went up from the Bush administration, not down. You know, that, you know, up as in give me some more of that war on coal, you know, because employment increased. And then they had Mike Huckstermee. They had Mike Huckstermee on. In fact, Jack in Shreveport had written to me about it to let me know what was going on. Mike Huckstermee did a segment on the poor, bedraggled, put down, trod upon, forsaken coal miners and lovers of Jesus in West Virginia. And then came this. Mark Nelson being asked by Mike Huckstermee about his job prospects, and he said, "I put out a bunch of applications, but there ain't no hope in finding a job." So then Huckstermee asked Vic Gerald about his son having to move back in with him and his wife, Angela Gerald. And Vic Gerald told Huckstermee his son was once full of hope and dreams, and because of all our politicians and the war on coal, his son had now been moved back home. We haven't even got to the punchline yet, Albert. I'm sorry. I was going to mention this story one way or the other, but I needed you strapped in for this.
I'm in.
Okay? Because we're getting to the good part now. All right.
Three.
Two. One. He then asked Josh Nelson one last question about our current administration's war on coal, in which Nelson stated that it was a lot of people who have false scientific facts that are killing our industry. He stated a fact that, quote, 400 miners in one day can dig enough coal that would equal more electricity when converted than every single solar panel and windmill combined. That's right. This idiot of coal has just alleged there is more energy from coal in West Virginia than there is energy in the sun and in the wind.
And that's just mining one day's worth, and then they wonder why there's no jobs. Well, you're providing so much, what are you going to do? You know?
So after he says there's more energy than all them solar panels and windmills combined, the crowd, Albert, they just clapped. Oh, they clapped.
I bet they did.
And then Nelson said, "That's a lot of electricity."
That's a lot of electricity. Ooh, fixed economy. We need some more burrito coverings. That's what it sounds like to me.
Ron and Raleigh said, gigawatts? Hey, Bob, 1.21 gigawatts? Did I hear Albert say that right? We could go back to the future with that kind of power.
100,000 gigawatts. Cole, that's a ridiculous. That's more than all that's contained in all the coal that has been mined and could be mined. I mean, it's a ridiculous number. I mean, there are 2,000 zettajoules of heat energy radiated out of the Earth into space every year. We use 0.002 zettajoules in a year as a species. And this is what I mean. These people, they keep talking about this bridge. You know, they pretend that the BP... You know, the BP disaster, well, it wasn't that they cut corners when it most certainly was. It was that they were pushed out into this rough sea and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because oceans start fires, right? And anyway, they were pushed out there, you know, regardless of the fact that there's 4,000 oil rigs down in the Gulf of Mexico. They have nowhere else to go. We have no more oil. We're running out of coal. Boone County, you said? If you don't have coal, how can you have jobs, you dumb nuts? What's wrong with you? You can mine all this coal.
No. See, all that reality you're talking about, Brother Albert, God is using little Keebler elves down under the crust of the earth to make more coal. Abiotic coal.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you got to remember, all that carbon-14 testing and stuff, that's just another one of them lies by the devil. Granted, you know, you can actually do carbon-14 testing on coal because, you know, it's carbon and everything, and find out exactly how old that seashell imprint is that was put there by the Titanic plates.
Mm-hmm.
But that, no, that's Satan confusing the unbelievers.
Well, you know, there is that creationist slash archaeologist dude who likes to pretend he has hundreds of pounds of God bless them with hundreds of pounds of fresh dinosaur bones. They think they have, they tell their children that their scientists have fresh dinosaur bones.
Fresh. Like with meat still hanging on them.
Yeah.
Like the little pile of brontosaur bones that Fred throws away after the car tips over in the opening credits of the Flintstones, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is the reality they live in. They keep talking the bridge. And I keep telling them it's the bridge to nowhere. They'll keep saying, well, the solar patek isn't here. Yes, it is. It's here now. It's here right now. And it's only getting cheaper. And, I mean, it is literally a tsunami. It's going to be a tsunami. I mean, you know, when those 300 million people in India who currently are not connected to the grid suddenly have power, and the more that, you know, that's the same amount of people as in the United States. You know, we have only 330, 350 million, whatever, in that range, you know. I mean, and in India, there's 300 million of them without even any access to electricity. You know, and once these things, I mean, it's, the world's going to do it one way or the other. You know, China, you know, the Chinese, and I'm not trying to, you know, be all happy about the Chinese government, but I gotta, you know, gotta give them props when they sit there and, you know, they don't run their people over with tanks, and they say and they agree that we'll put windmills and solar panels instead of that coal power plant. You know, you gotta see that the wind is changing. The current is moving. We're going in a different direction. There's, what, 2.9 million green energy workers in this country. That's more than coal, gas, oil, all those workers combined times four. I mean, I don't understand. You know, they'll say, oh, well, those windmills need maintenance work. That's jobs, you stupid dummy. You know, what are you going to do with maintenance with those solar panels? I don't know, hose them off? I mean,
power grids require maintenance in themselves, whether it's distributed or
exactly.
Transportational. Yeah, those are all jobs. Those jobs aren't going away.
No, and that's the other thing. These dummies will say something like, "Oh, well, we don't have the infrastructure for an electric." What? What do you mean you don't have the infrastructure for electrons? What are you talking about? Do your lights work in your house? How do you think it gets there? I mean,
angels.
Ain't the angel Moroni. They're not connected to reality. Their feet haven't touched the ground in years, decades.
Yeah, Onward to Dystopia just sent me a message dripping with sarcasm, literally, from the chat room. All those green jobs will only go to illegal immigrants and union thugs.
Oh, man, yeah, no doubt, right? Oh, my God. Legal immigrants. You know, it's funny, too. There's a movie, speaking of dystopian, Margaret Atwood, she wrote a book on debt, and it's on Netflix. Check it out. Good stuff. Thought-provoking.
Margaret Atwood from The Handmaid's Tale?
Yes, very one. Yeah, Orcs and Crake, and, you know, yeah. She wrote a book about debt. And it incorporates all the debt, the environmental debt that we have, the debt that we have to each other, the debt that we have, you know, financial. It covers all of it, you know. There is actually, speaking of the illegal immigrants, they're involved with it regarding some tomato picking. And, you know, it reminded me of remember when those workers down there in those, you know, factory tomato farms wanted, you know, fairer wages. And
right.
Cost McDonald's a whole penny per tomato. Yeah, that whole story's in this documentary. I definitely recommend watching it. And it doesn't cost a whole lot to treat people right. You know, it doesn't cost a whole lot to do the right thing. You know, right now solar is you know, to manufacture is 65 cents a watt. It may be even cheaper. My information, you know, is a few months old. You know, and I apologize for that, but it's a lot better than you get out of a right winger, and they had decades. They're not even in the same century in terms of information. You know, it's probably a lot cheaper. It's probably
if we stop blowing up the mountains for coal, we're all going to be on them little Gilligan's Island bicycles that just are trying to keep the dryer going.
You know, and you know, actually, you know, not that I think that we would have to do anything like anywhere close to that, but that's not that so bad of an idea, is it?
Well, you know, we could take a few pounds off.
Exactly, and you know, even.
I mean, just to sort of cross cultural boundaries here, Sandra and I were engaged in a Twitter conversation last night about a spinoff show from TLC's Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, no. No,
it's called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo Child. And it's about a family of necks down in Georgia.
Yeah, I know who they is. Oh God. Oh no. They give them their own show, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And the little child, 5 years old, apparently goes about 90 miles a minute because she is permitted to drink her own concoction of energy drink.
Mountain Dew and Red Bull.
And Mountain Dew. She says it tastes like apple juice.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Doofus or, you know, one of these TV quacks took a sip of it and like 15 minutes later, we're going to have to take a break now. My head's breaking out in a sweat. And they got him a pet pig.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fitting. Wondrous. I know she had them. I know that her oldest daughter, she's only 14 years older than her or something like that. I remember reading an article and her.
Oh, yeah, see, I can never. I was watching the chat room before the show started, and if you go and look up my Twitter feed, you'll see where. You'll see where Sandra sent me the link. There's a passage in there where they're going to see the teenager's baby ultrasound. And the little five-year-old says, Mama, I can't see the baby's biscuit. Well, right before showtime, Lottie, who is a damned good cook, said, I was going for some comfort food this evening, and I made sausage gravy and biscuits. At which point, any time before last night would have engendered the drooling and you know envy and you know just yummy noises. Did you make a yummy sound? No, I didn't make a yummy sound. But no, because I'd seen this trailer for Here Comes Honey Boo Boo Chow. You know, in the 1960s. Jimi Hendrix gave us that great rendition of Voodoo Child.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, we get Here Comes Honey Boo Boo Child. The culture is, well, you know, it's like the difference between Neil Armstrong and Lance Armstrong. The culture is simply dying. But anyway, no, they go to see the baby in the ultrasound, which has been determined to be a girl, and little Honey Boo Boo Child, who's probably half out of her mind on Mountain Dew and Red Bull, says, I can't see her girly parts. I don't see her biscuit, Mommy. And her mother explains to the camera, well, biscuit is what we call it. Because, you know, if a biscuit's made right, you know, like at Hardee's, and you open it, well, you know, the girl part looks kind of like a biscuit. I don't know, Brother Albert, if I will ever be able to eat a biscuit so long as I live.
Especially that with sausage gravy. Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's not misogynistic or any kind of phobic on my part. It's I don't like human body parts being equated with food because it makes me feel kind of cannibalistic. I mean, there are other euphemisms that I don't use as well. You get the idea. But, you know, Jesus Christ, yeah. There's no relief. Brother Albert, I got to roll, but it's been a wonderful conversation.
Always, man, always. Be good.
Gonna try. Take care.
Right. Be good. Bye.
Bye now.
Brother Albert calling from Wisconsin. He is the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. We have had one kind contribution of $25 come in this evening, and Kate tells me that I'm not putting the explaining myself well enough. Kate knows that I don't like doing fundraising, and she said, "Try this, Bob. Watch my mouth," with a little smiley face after. "If we don't get this by the end of the month, we will likely not be on the air in September, folks. This is serious. Just try it," Kate says. "It ain't Oral Roberts-esque. Ain't nobody calling me home." But times are tough and getting tougher. You know, if you divide 5 into 500, you get roughly, we need to bring in about $100 a night between now and Friday to get to the end of August fundraising. So we've gotten, thank you very kindly, 25 of it out of the way, and the help is badly needed. This is how this survives. Okay? And we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's Boris Johnson again.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Boris?
Bob, we still have Mitt Romney's horse.
But
we're going to ship it back.
Blimey, you still got the horse?
Yeah.
Haven't you strapped the old nag to the top of a jetliner and sent it home yet?
We're going to strap it to the Concorde. How's that? We'll strap it to the Concorde. We think Mitt Romney would like that. That's the way he likes to ship animals, you know.
On the tops of vehicles, absolutely, Boris.
They need the air. They need the air. They need the fresh air. So we're shipping back. You know, Bob, this Mitt Romney, he makes our Margaret Thatcher look like Mama Teresa. You know that, don't you, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. It makes her look like a raven liberal.
Mitt Romney will just tear apart your country. He will just decimate the working class. Like I said, Margaret Thatcher looks like Mama Teresa compared to your Mitt Romney.
Ain't it the truth. What's happening, Andy?
Hey, you had Albert there just mentioned China.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world should go see the movie Ai Weiwei.
Yeah.
You heard about that. He was a dissident, the artist in China.
Bring me up to speed.
Ai Weiwei. He was an artist. He spent some time in New York, like 10 years, and he comes from a prominent family of kind of a higher echelon. I think his father was very close to Mao Zedong, so he's got a lot of privileges. But he was a very strong dissident and very critical of the regime in China, especially during the time of Tiananmen Square. He's in his 50s now. And he's done a lot of art shows around the world. He helped design the Bird's Nest. He was like one of the main architects.
Oh, wow, okay.
Weiwei. But he has been very critical of the Chinese government. So they did a Jose Padilla. You know, the exact same thing. They basically put him away.
Tortured him until his mind turned to jello, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, exactly the same thing. Took a plane right out of the CIA playbook, exactly what they did to Jose Padilla, and now the guy is basically a vegetable.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't hear a word out of him. He spent 81 days in jail. He never slept. You know, they kept the lights on. He was constantly watched, you know, no clothes. The same thing as they did to Bradley Manning. You know, no books, you know, nothing to read, you know, nothing to keep his mind occupied. So basically, you know, they drove him crazy, turned his mind into jello. And you don't hear anything about him anymore, but there's a documentary on that. If you want, think about buying Chinese products, just look what they did to this guy. You know, he just opened his mouth one too many times.
Jesus. And I just read an article that Horst had posted on my Facebook page about body doubles in criminal sentencings in China. If you're 1% enough in China, you can hire a guy to go to prison for you when you're charged with, you know, like running down pedestrians or, I don't know, if it was in the U.S., maybe running over boatloads of children. You pay them a certain amount per day that they spend in prison, and then they get out and they're comfortable. And it winds up being, you know, around $10,000 or so.
Well, the police and the whole justice system is very corrupt. You know, it's run by the top down. There's no accountability. They show one part in the movie a couple years ago where he was harassed because he did he was one of the few people that went in with the parents. You remember the children got killed because of the earthquake they had and the schools fell apart?
Right, yeah.
Trying to figure out, you know, why was it just shoddy workmanship and they didn't at all plan to have these schools fitted for earthquakes. And they just probably thousands of kids got killed. He did a head count. You know, officially, the government would not do a head count, but he actually organized people all over the country. He went visiting parents and schools and organized, and they came up with like 6,000 kids that got crushed to death, you know, by the earthquake. And he printed all the names, and he made a, you know, an art thing at like a wall, you know, like we have the Vietnam War. He did a whole wall and a big artsy thing about it. Of course, the Chinese government, that did not come over very well at all.
No, I can imagine, yeah.
Because of that, on one of his trips going to one of the schools, he was in a hotel room and a cop came to his door at like 3 in the morning and he wouldn't let them in. He was kind of playing with them, you know, that I'm not going to open the door. You can't come in. I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. Cops broke the door open and they punched him in the head. And because of that punch, he got a concussion, evidently. And he was going on a trip to Germany to do some art show, and he had terrible headache. And so he went to the, you know, like your trip to Germany. He went to some kind of medical clinic there, and they rushed him to a hospital. They had to operate and relieve the pressure on his brain, or he would have died. You know, because evidently he had a terrible contusion because of the punch the cops gave him in the head. You know, they knocked him down when they punched him. I mean, they really nailed him.
Oh, yeah, and I just got a tweet coming in, by the way, from Brother Albert, Andy. He said, let Andy know I'm not condoning China's civil rights abuses, just acknowledging their movement in energy thinking. And that's the absolute truth. I mean, they're building more wind turbines every day than the U.S. and Canada combined. And they're also burning coal for all they're worth because they are trying to bridge